Are you people feeling all right?
Make me a deal and make it good for me. I won't get full of myself, I can't afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey everybody, welcome to Rock Solid, the comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I'm Pat Francis, and tonight, we have not done this in a couple of years, and I don't know why, but I got a group of people here, and we are going to talk about Kiss Psycho Circus. Now, before you get your panties in a bunch, we're not doing Carnival of Souls, because I don't even know if I could be humorous about that album. It's just a dirge, and so we're not doing it, and that's my choice. All right, enough about that. Don't at me. All right, first of all, tonight, the round table, we usually go ladies first, but I'm going to go ladies second because I got to introduce Kyle Dotson, longtime producer and relative and friend of the show, Kyle Dotson. Kyle, thank you for joining us. How are you tonight?
Thanks. I'm good. I'm tired, but good.
You're tired, but good. And what are you drinking there? It looks like you're drinking.
This is a Gatorade Zero fruit punch flavor.
All right. All right. Staying healthy. I like that. Fantastic. We're glad you're here. You guys can't see Kyle, but he's looking very yacht rockish tonight. He's got he's got a full beard and the hair's getting longer. And look out, Richard Marx is what I'll say.
Now, you're in a room surrounded by baseball things because you love baseball.
I love baseball. Yeah, I am actually at Kyle's parents' house, the house where Kyle was raised. And yeah. Their air conditioner works great because I am freezing my ass off right now.
Yeah, it's a nice like 62 degrees there all the time.
It's insane. All right, moving on. As I said, we usually do ladies first, but we'll do ladies second. But she is a lady, and we're talking about Courtney Cronin. Courtney, welcome back to the show. Been way too long.
Thank you, Pat. It's so good to see you. Good to see all you guys. And I love to live in a meat locker, so that room sounds wonderful.
Courtney, when are you going out on the boats again? You are literally queen of the rock and roll cruises. Can I call you that?
I don't know about that, but thank you. Probably queen meaning because I'm the oldest, but no, we're touring with my show now. So we're doing like little mini tours in different markets with the regular guests on our show. So I'm actually going this weekend to Texas with Don Jameson and with Jason McMaster from Dangerous Toys.
Tell everyone what that show is. Don't drop the lead.
Sorry. Punchlines and Backlines, where rock stars do comedy and they're funny and they're awesome. And we work really hard and they do a great job and their fans totally dig it. And we have a great time. So now we're on tour. We're doing little tours. It's fun.
And I feel like, have you been on Comics Unleashed yet?
I'm my date is at the end of September. I'm on September 29th.
So you've already taped it.
No, I tape September 29th.
Okay. So I feel like that day when you tape it, you got to pull, Mr. Byron Allen aside and, pitch your punchlines and backlines. That would be a great, show to follow. What do you think?
I think that's a pretty good idea, actually.
Do it. All right. Moving on. Christian Malmeen. Now, last time when you were here, you, your hair was long.
True.
And now it's a nice length, and you look presentable.
Thank you very much. I feel presentable.
What's on that t-shirt, my man?
It would be, Peter Criss.
There we go.
I'm just doing, it's Peter Alone from his solo album, 1978. And I just wanted to represent tonight.
I appreciate it. I did not represent as I have a Thin Lizzy shirt on. But
that's still cool.
You know, I tried. Christian, tell me about what's going on with the acting gigs. Are you booking some stuff? What are you doing?
There is a movie that I was in earlier this year. It's called Concert Heroes, and it just had a little panel discussion at Comic-Con, which was, what, like a week and a half ago? It is a movie. It's starring Chris Kattan, but it's just about a bunch of guys that are total concert heads, and, you know, they're touring with their favorite band, and they're doing a farewell tour, and it should be a lot of fun, but it's still in the editing stage. So hopefully that'll be in the not too distant future. They showed a trailer and then had a panel discussion with all the main stars of it.
And do you feel like you're going to make the cut since it's in the editing right now?
I certainly hope so. I certainly hope so.
Are you drumming in this movie?
I'm not drumming. I'm playing one of the concert attendees.
Okay.
But an actor named Carolyn Hennessy is in it. And long story short, she broke her tibia back in October, and she was still injured when she shot this. So I kind of play a guy that's pushing her around in the wheelchair in all the concerts.
Okay. Okay.
So I hope I make it. Yeah.
And I'm not good with anatomy. Tibia, that's your ass bone, right?
It is your lower leg.
Okay, I was close.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
No, it's all.
Well, we look forward to that. And say the title of the movie again.
Concert Heroes.
Concert Heroes. All right.
So it's already, if you search it, it's already popping up. So.
All right. Last but not least, coming in to add Kyle Hildreth, what do you bring to the show?
I'm bringing that old manness because I can't.
Okay, great. We need that. Okay. Bringing the old manness is Kyle Hildreth. And just to let people know, Kyle Hildreth does a lot of the artwork, the Facebook artwork for the show. He does it out of the goodness of his heart. And I appreciate him. And I don't give these artists enough credit. They create something new every week. And it's a little special thing that I really love. So thank you, Kyle.
Thank you. I love doing it too. It's so fun. Let's
get into this album, Psycho Circus. After the 96-97 reunion tour, the band promised that they would get back into the studio and do a rock and roll album with all the original members. I'm not quite sure that happened, and we'll talk about that as we go on. But the album was produced by Bruce Fairbairn, who did great work bringing Aerosmith and Bon Jovi back and producing the Loverboy albums. And this was the go-to guy. This is the guy that you wanted to use back in the day if you were going to do an album such as Psycho Circus. All right, I'm going to start right now. We're going to play the first track. I don't know why Paul Stanley insists on leaning into so many S's.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
I mean, here we go, though. Let's hear a minute of this. I'm going to go in the same order as I introduced everyone. We're going to start out with Kyle Dotson. Kyle, what do you think about track one, Psycho Circus?
I like that. It's simple and nonsense, but it's the only track on this album that has anything to do with the cover. Like, that's it. Like, there's not like a song like The Bearded Lady or like Stilts or anything like that. It's just like, that's it. There's your one to go with the PlayStation cover.
All right. I take exception to later on in the song. He says, the amplifiers start to hum. The carnival has just begun. Is it a carnival or is it a circus?
You might not know what anything is.
let's stick with one outing, guys.
You couldn't say circus. They just say carnival, Paul.
Just say carnival, Paul. It'll be fine.
It's at the Sonic Carnival.
Yeah, the carnival has just begun. Now I'm going to look on some credits for this song just so I can see. It's Paul Stanley vocals and rhythm guitar. And then we go to the additional musicians. Tommy Thayer on lead guitar. Bruce Kulick bass. And who's playing drums? Kevin Valentine. So that is not a reunion song in the least. This is just Paul going in with a bunch of studio musicians. Courtney Cronin, what do you got for us with Psycho Circus?
Well, the thing, it's so, Kyle, I'm so impressed you made that observation. I've never heard that said ever. There's the only song about a circus. No one's ever said that ever. So I'm like, I'm so glad that you like hit that nerve. Like that needs to be discussed more, Kiss people. It got me going. Like when I heard it, I started getting fired up because I saw so many concerts where that was the first song and the curtain drops and it's, you know, they come down and it's the Psycho start, you know, and then everyone's like, welcome to the show, you know, and it's such a killer way to open a show. It's like, it's there. Hello there, ladies and gentlemen. It's their Cheap Trick. Hello there. But instead, they couldn't say anything. Paul couldn't come out and go, hello there, people. It had to be welcome to the show because it would have just been more and more people. And they have a 62 people minimum per stage banter for show. So,
and yeah, I think it's a fun song too. I need to say that. And they could open with this forever. I mean, forever. It's the perfect opener. And congratulations, Paul, for co-writing that with Curtis Cuomo. Christian Malmeen, what do you think of Psycho Circus?
Well, revisiting this entire album has just been this wonderful little walk down memory lane because so much of it is, I mean, we all remember in 1998 when this was coming out and we kind of can't talk about Psycho Circus without talking about Dodger Stadium, right?
Yes. Yes. I was there. Were you there?
I was there. Ooh. So, and there was so much buildup.
Halloween night.
Yes. Halloween night. There were tie-ins with Mad TV. There were tie-ins where all four members were playing characters, some in heavy makeup, on the show Millennium. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do.
Oh. Yes. Yeah, so it was so much buildup and I agree where the lyrically and they're saying welcome to the show of it really grounded everything and really like, okay, here we are. And even in the opening lyrics, you know, it's like, here I am, here we are. We are one, a little kind of foreshadowing to a song later on.
Right.
You know, he yells, get up, got a little Detroit Rock City energy. And tribute in there. And I like the lyrics about time for me to take my place, make a run on my face. We're exiled from the human race. but we are all here together and welcome to the show. And here we go, you know. And the other lyric, you know, he said, I've been waiting for this night to come. And that also ties in so well because how many people bought their tickets? They're waiting, you know, it's one more week, this Friday, whatever. It's just that buildup. It was a perfect composition to, like you said, opening the show.
I mean, and it's kind of a perfect song for what they're trying to do and a perfect concert opener and a perfect album opener. So, Mr. Kyle Hildreth, do you have some dadness or are you enjoying this song?
Is this the best song on the album?
It's definitely up in my top three on this album for sure.
You have three? Holy crap. I mean, yeah, so tell us. I think this might be the best song.
All right.
It has the most effort put into it, I think. This whole album, oh boy.
Oh, hold on. You hang on. We go track by track, sir.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying, in general, if this is your best song, and you put the most effort into that one top song, everything else after that is just
one band member put in a lot of effort. No one else seemed to.
Curtis Cuomo, yes. Classic band member, Curtis Cuomo. Yeah. I like the song. And then it is funny that that's all the S's. That's the best part of it. Since Backstage Passes and Black Sunglasses. Yeah, there's so many S's, but yeah, I love it. Good song.
All right, let's move on to track two, written by Gene Simmons and sung by Gene Simmons. This is Within. Let me tell you who's playing on this, and then I will let Kyle take it away. Kyle Dotson. We got Gene on vocals and bass, and then no other Kiss members. I mean, of the original lineup. We have Bruce Kulick on lead guitar, and then we have this Kevin Valentine who plays drums on every song but one, just so you know. So as far as giving us that reunion album, not quite. But Kyle Dotson, what do you think of Within?
I mean, I've already forgotten what we just heard. It is such a dirge to put it number two. Like, that's what, I know there weren't album sides, but that's like what you bury like in the middle. There's no reason for this to be number two. It's garbage.
And I never like a song.
I'm sorry. The only reason is because Paul's is number one. Sorry. Yes, that's the only reason it's number two.
Yes. But. We can't have two Pauls in a row. And then, and for me, I hate a song where the lyrics are like this without that, this without that. It's just like, okay, all right, we get it.
What if it was plotting? Would that help? No. Okay.
This would be like an upbeat song on Carnival of Souls, this Within song.
Yes.
All right. But don't be afraid to like it, everyone else. Courtney, what do you think?
I like it. I like it. I think Gene sounds great. And it's almost like this 80s kind of new wave thing snuck in there. Because when I listen to it, when you hear a song and you kind of are sort of forced to sort of sing like a different song. Like when I hear this, I kind of want to stop and go, you've got the eyes of a stranger. Like that's what it sounds like to me.
Yes, it does.
And it's super light. And I love when Gene gets a little poppy. He's definitely hiding it behind that like, I'm so mysterious, Gene, but I'm not singing about my manhood. I'm singing about other things finally for the first time ever. I just think it's like the Coke Zero of Gene songs. It's like, it's still metal, but it's like light. It's like all the metal without the calories.
So I gotta be honest, a little bit at the beginning, it sounds like a little Beatle-ish to me too.
Totally.
Yeah. All right. Christian Malmeen, Within.
Okay, I got to give credit to Bruce Kulick. Woo! Apparently he did. Yeah, he did that kind of weird backward guitar thing in the opening of the song, which is interesting. So, when I put this album back on for the first time, and it got to this one, I was just like, oh, God. But, okay, in the Kiss, the DVD set with Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
This is one of the three songs from this album that they did live at Dodger Stadium. Wow. And it kind of really turned me around. It's like, wait a minute. Well, because first of all, they did a more up-tempo version of it. So it wasn't just plodding along. Mm. And when I watched it, it was kind of cool just knowing that this was the very first time they were performing a brand new song live. And it was this, you know, huge show. And you could tell that they were really kind of concentrating, but also having a good time. And even when it breaks down in the solo, it kind of takes on a little bit of a Detroit Rock City flavor as the two different guitars are playing the same thing and an octave apart. And just in the live version, it just jammed harder, and it turned me back onto it. I don't like the studio version, but the live version, I thought it really worked.
And they were concentrating so hard because they didn't play on the original track. So
that's right.
They really had to think about it. We can't mess this up. We've never played it before, ever.
That's right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kyle, number two, what do you got for Within?
Speaking of number two, holy Christ. Sorry, gang, but after one song.
You can't ruin our joy.
Oh, don't worry. I like other parts of this album, but this is the low point, I think. Maybe there's more coming on, but oh boy. Did Gene, this had to be left off of Carnival of Souls, right?
Yes.
I mean it sounds maybe, so much like
rumored to be.
It was it was a Carnival
of Souls. Is it confirmed, Christian?
Yes, it was a demo for Carnival of Souls.
Oh, okay. Because I figured we were on it.
No, yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. Everything about it feels like it. Like, did they not have enough songs? They had to use one from there. Did they really think they could push it a little farther? Like, maybe we can get a little more action on the Carnival of Souls if we put one of those songs on this album. And then it so plotting. It just, I can't. I will give credit to the middle breakdown, though. When they they pick it up, and it gets kind of weird with that that voice that goes, oh, and it keeps going, oh. And that part's weird, but it's fun. I like that part. And Gene does not get enough credit for what a good bassist he is. On half
Gene is a great, he is a good bassist, and he's a good vocalist.
Yeah, oh yeah. It just, he doesn't write a great song here, that's all.
Just one more thing. Do you think this would have been a good Elder song?
Yes. Yes. Excuse me. I think it would have been. For sure.
When I was re-listening this album today, I was like, this sounds like the Elder too. But within Psycho Circus and like so much songs added in.
So versatile.
Okay. After two songs that are over 5 minutes long, we're going to get one that's 3 minutes and 30 seconds, written by Paul Stanley, Curtis Cuomo, and friend of the show, Holly Knight.
Woo!
Do you guys want a song title that's 10 words long? I got it for you. I pledge allegiance to the state of rock and roll. And on this track, we got, of course, Paul. And then we got Tommy Thayer and Kevin Valentine. Who's playing bass? Who's playing bass on this one? I don't know who's. I don't see who's playing bass, but it's not Gene.
I had seen something about Bruce Kulick playing bass on the choruses. All right. I don't know why it would just be on the choruses. I don't know.
Okay. Very strange. But this album has a lot of anthems, and this is one of them. So here we go. All right, Kyle Dodson, will you be pledging allegiance to the state of rock and roll?
Sure thing. yeah, it's fine. They played this when they got their Kennedy Senator honors.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, it's fine. It is. It's exactly what it you think it's going to be when you read the title.
I mean, what else can it be? I mean, when you read that title, you already know what's coming.
Yeah. No, right. Exactly.
So thumbs up?
Yeah, it's fine. Okay.
Paul's killing it so far in this album.
Yeah. Now, to prepare for this, did you guys read all 31 issues of the Kiss Psycho Circus comic books?
Oh, yeah.
I did
That's
not.
That's get the story.
Have you read any of them?
No, but I'm looking at the Wikipedia right now, and it seems like a bunch of nonsense.
No.
Well, our friend Paul Gilmartin likes to say, Kiss will put their name on anything but a good song.
Ba-dum-bum.
All right, Courtney Cronin, what do you think of I Pledge Allegiance to the State of Rock and Roll?
I like it, but I like these poppy Paul songs. I like when Paul gets poppy. And but I have to read this because I'm going to skip my own comment to read you Holly Knight's comment about this show. Ooh, okay. In the book, Raise Your Glasses, another song we'll get to later, which the Shout It Out Loudcast guys did a whole book and all these people contributed their thoughts on the songs. But listen to what Holly Knight said about her own song. She said, hang on, I need light here. Edit this part out. Okay. I find that song somewhat embarrassing. And I'm the guilty one that came up with the title. No other band could get away with it. I pride myself on the quality of my work and what I consider a well-written song. But that's not one of them.
Wow.
This is I don't think that any of the Kiss songs I co-wrote are reflective of the quality of songs I've written. I'm trying to say that in a way that's delicate. I'm like, Hide Your Heart is like legendary.
Yeah, Hide Your Heart is legendary, girl.
You can't put Hide Your Heart in the category with this. Although, you know, we're all very, very tough on ourselves. We're our worst critics, but I really like this song. I think it doesn't get enough credit. I think it gets buried because of the silly title.
Yeah. And I like the song. I do like the song too. So I just want to add that. Okay, Christian Malmeen, what do you got?
Well, I think it's a Kiss Army Call to Arms song. It's another classic Stanley, believe in yourself, go out there and kick ass. You know, it's the real good positive thing. I like how it starts with the guitar riff. It's catchy. On the choruses, something I particularly like, the Kevin Valentine is playing quarter notes on the snare as opposed to half
notes. I hate quarter notes on the snare. I hate it. Just ruin the song for me, Christian. Thank you.
I hadn't even noticed until you brought it up.
Now I can't unhear it.
I like there's a good guitar solo. Like some other songs in this album, Tommy does a very, very Ace-inspired solo. And is that kind of things that you've heard, that there was an element of Tommy wanting to try to make it sound like Ace? Or
isn't that the name of his book?
Trying to make it sound like Ace.
That's the name of Tommy's
book. Anyway, it's a good guitar solo, and it kind of sounds like, you know, Ace could have been playing it. And the title, the thing about the title is, you know, in Spinal Tap, after the final credits, they do like the mock commercial for their greatest hits. I think like the title alone in this could be like, you know, Hellhole, Big Bottom, Cups and Cakes. I pledge allegiance to the State of Rock.
Definitely got that.
Sex Farm. I mean, it just sounds funny. It could have like fit on there. But it's not my favorite, but it's I just remember in 98 just being so starved for new Kiss music.
Yes, yes.
And as the album's unfolding, we kind of took a little downturn from within, but then we're riding the wave again with this. It brought it way back up.
All right. So a thumbs up from Christian also.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Get ready. Kyle Hildreth, what do you got?
A thumbs halfway up. I'm going to give this
okay.
Because I think this suffers And I do like all the parts you guys are talking about, especially the quarter note on the drum. I do like that, how it kind of picks it up and gets it going. This whole album suffers from that comeback feel where we got to make it strong. We got to give it everything we have. Everybody's got to get a song in there. We got to do this kind of song, that kind of song.
Uh-oh. You muted your mic, Kyle.
Oh, hi. How are you? Sorry about that.
We got to do this kind of song, that kind of song. That's where we left you.
Okay. I think they're trying to pull too much from all of their whole history to try to get one of this song, one of that song. And this sounds like one of those revenge songs, I think.
All right. All right. I like the revenge album. So
yeah, I do too. With it. But this isn't revenge. This is Psycho Circus.
It's revenge on revenge.
Oh, I feel like it. It really does. And it's just, did Kiss invent AI? Because it feels like all the parts are there, but they don't always go all together. It feels a little, like Holly said, she didn't like the song. And it feels like it just wasn't fully cooked. That's all.
But
I like it. I'll sing along with it all the time. If it has lisps in it, I'm more than happy to sing along.
Sing along, sisters.
Let's go. All right. Track 4. I think this is the only track where all original Kiss members play on it. Peter on drums, Ace on lead guitar and lead vocals, Gene on bass, Paul on rhythm guitar, and maybe background vocals. This song is written by Ace Frehley and Carl Cochran. I don't know who that is.
Carl, I'll tell you about Carl after.
All right, but here we go. This is Ace Frehley, Rock in Peace, Ace, Into the Void. And then Ace says, feel like I'm being pulled into a black hole, because Space Ace always has to talk about space or, you know, power of some sort. And that's how it started. I'm losing power. But Kyle Dodson, what do you think of Into the Void?
Oh, that's like the best song of the album. That's like the best one. That's great.
Do you think it's because all four members play on it?
No. I think it's just because, like, it's like Ace knows what he can do. And mm-hmm. He does that. Like, and that, like, when he does that at a 10, it's a 10 out of 10.
And this song is a 10 out of 10, I believe.
Yeah.
All right. Courtney, what do you think of Into the Void?
Love it. I love the Ace songs. They're always my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm very drawn to Ace's sound and Carl. Politics. So that's why I was like glad we talked about Carl. So Carl was in Ace's solo band.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote this with Ace. And Carl was like a permanent fixture at all the Kiss events. And he played with Ace and he played with everybody. I think it was Jolyn Turner he played with for a really long time. And then he had a stroke. He had like a massive stroke. And he was unable to play anymore. And but he came, Kiss invited him to everything. Carl was always with his girlfriend Jerry, they were always there. And he talked to every, you know, he did his best. You know, he would be slow, but he smiled. He held hands. He took pictures. He hugged everyone. He was the sweetest guy. And even before his stroke, he was the same guy, you know, just talking to everybody, hanging out. Everybody loved Carl. There was like, no one could say a bad word about Carl Cochran. Everybody loved Carl. And then he tragically died. I think it's been almost 2 years now. It was a terrible story. We're not going to even talk about it on the air. It's just very tragic, and it was unfortunate, and it was an accident, and we lost Carl. But he's somebody that you will always hear Kiss fans put, I mean, he's just on a pedestal. The guy was just awesome, and he wrote a killer song. He wrote the best song on the album, I think, too, Kyle. So Kyle all was right. So upset about the story he left. Okay. But anyway, yes, what did he Carl play? Cochran. I loved Carl was rad. So yes, yay, Carl.
And what did Carl play?
He played bass in Ace's band, but he's a guitar player. But I'm pretty sure he was the bass player. And then he played on other Kiss stuff. He was always in Kiss things. He's always there. Like you go to a Kiss thing, Carl's there.
All right. Mm-hmm. Rock and peace, Ace Frehley, and rock and peace, Carl Cochran.
Yeah.
All right. Christian Malmeen, tell me what your view is of Into the Void.
Well, I think Peter Criss sounds great on it. I mean, they're in the studio. Obviously, there's all kinds of little tricks you can play if somebody gets a little offbeat or whatever, because I don't know what all the situation with Peter and Ace on this album was, but I thought it's a solid performance, solid contribution. It's a fun song. And I kind of like what the drums do as it's leading into the chorus. And the chorus itself, I like the kind of different layers of guitar and a little bit higher toned line and it's a good solo. And that's about it. This was another song that was in their live set list. Second song of the three that they chose. But it was also really fun to get a new Ace song, and he actually used this song to go into his guitar solo and the smoking guitar and the fireworks and all that. So
yeah, very cool. All right. Kyle Hildreth, we have lots of love for Into the Void. Are you gonna continue?
Well, I was wrong. This is the best song on the album. You guys are right. Yeah. I mean, he sounds great. Everybody sounds great. Like you said, I can't say anything more. I don't think it's just a good, the one thing I will say, a little too long in the end, a little too much of the chorus.
All right.
But that's it. All right. Otherwise 10 out of 10, like you said.
All right. Fantastic. All right. Moving to track number five, a Gene song written by Gene, sung by Gene. It's called We Are One. Let me get who's playing on this. Acoustic guitar is Paul Stanley. Rhythm guitar is Gene Simmons. Tommy Thayer's lead guitar. And Tommy Thayer's bass on this track also. And then Kevin Valentine on drums. We will not hear Peter on drums on any other song going forward. Again. But this is We Are One. All right, Kyle Dodson, what are your thoughts on We Are One?
It's cheesy, but I do like it, even though it's cheesy. It has the vocal, it makes me think of those Time Life commercials where it'd be like him singing and then like you fade into like birds flying over the ocean or something.
Like The Elder.
And like a woman crying, yeah.
The Olin Mills profile picture and then the face straight on.
I will say I found a quote from Paul Stanley about the comic book, and he said the concept came from us.
Of course it did.
The Psycho Circus is a tour theme we're working on, and we may even use the title for an album. So it'd be a perfect title for the comic.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. That was Gene Simmons. That was Gene Simmons.
Okay. All right, Courtney, tell me about We Are One.
Well, the first time I heard We Are One was on the Kiss Cruise 10 years ago. And the second one I went on, And Gene, they played this and the whole crowd was singing and together. And it was like, and I'm going, what cheeseball song is this? Because I didn't know the Psycho Circus album at that point. I've been catapulted into a level of Kiss fandom that I shouldn't be at. I've been fast tracked. So that one, I didn't know. But then, and then seeing it live, I'm like, oh, this is so great. And then it's pretty good on the album. But I need to listen to the Psycho Circus live one, because I think I would like this song even more. I think it was just everybody together. It was almost like Gene's only sing-along where everybody bands together is usually just War Machine. And we're angry. Right. And we're fist bumping. But this one was like, hey, everybody, let's hug. It was like you were in church. Peace be with you. It was nice. It was nice. It's a pretty song. The chorus is a little cheddar and Swiss, but it's nice. It's pretty.
All right. Christian Almeen, We Are One, are we?
Well, I've always been all in on We Are One. I echo a lot of what Courtney said. It's nice hearing it start with acoustic guitar, because we were only a couple years away from the Unplugged show. And everything worked so well acoustically, so it was cool to open it up with that. I it's another typical, it's all about the fans. Mm-hmm. It's all about the fans. You know, and then the autobiographical nature of it. But I bought into it. I totally bought into it. And just kind of at that time knowing, like, yeah, I went to shows. I was part of it. He's talking partially to me, man. And, you know, I look out and see my face looking back at me and all the, then there's the little poignant thing about not knowing what you've got till it's gone. But then you always laugh when you want to cry. And like Courtney was saying, yeah, it is a very, very much let's join hands and go back and forth and just enjoy the unity of being a part of this band fandom. So it's always worked for me. I think it's really catchy and infectious and just unifying.
All right. I agree. I've always been all in on this song too. I like Gene's voice, and I like that he can do War Machine and God of Thunder and then drop us into this. And this sounds like a song that would have been on his solo album from 1978. Because he has Man of a Thousand Faces and Mr. Make-Believe. And he has songs in this vein on his 78 solo album. So,
and yeah. He spits blood before this song when he sings it.
I hope so. I hope so.
And no, he spits fire. He breathes fire.
And Kyle Hildreth. Kyle Hildreth, I know you don't like it, so let's hear about it.
Hold on, let me check my Kiss comeback checklist. Okay, yes. All right, there we go. So this is the one that, like everybody said, it's the bring the fans together with the band. Everybody's all one. It's the song's done great. It sounds great. I understand all the emotional part of it and how you're just swaying back and forth at the concert. Everything's great about it, except I don't like it. It's just too much. I mean, of all the other songs, no, not of all the other songs, one of the other songs. Besides this, it's just, yeah.
All right. I'm good. Hang tough. All right. We're going to get into this next song, but I don't feel like I can do it until Courtney gets back. So I'm going to talk a little bit about this Halloween show at Dodger Stadium. The Smashing Pumpkins opened the show. It was Halloween. They were dressed as the Beatles.
Wow.
Kenny Aronoff on drums. He was with them. He was wearing a mop top wig. And there was such excitement at this show. Christian can attest to it. It was also billed as the 3D tour. So they had there were 3D glasses, and there were not a lot of images on the screen, but there were some 3D images. And
he's got some nonsense going on.
Yeah, they always have some nonsense going on. Kiss.
You sure?
You know,
they're like a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat.
This is cap for sale.
Put all the right, makeup on. Put your glasses back.
Paul would say, he'd be like, let me tell you something, this next one, we're going to have some 3D. So you might want to put those glasses on. All right. So, Courtney, we vamped a little bit while you were gone. And we're going to go into song number 6. written by Gene. This is a first for Kiss because every single member sings lead on this. They all get their own verses. And this song is called You Wanted the Best. And of course, we all know you wanted the best, but you got Kiss. But here we go. You Wanted the Best. You wanted the best. Kyle, did you get the best?
Yeah, I like this song a lot. I think this should be the song that opens the album, I think. And then it should be Psycho Circus. Mm, this should not be buried at number six.
It shouldn't be buried at number six.
Especially if you're billing it as, hey, everyone's back. You know,
yeah,
put that at the first song.
If this was a vinyl album, though, I guess that would be the first song on side two.
Which is perfect for 98, right?
Right.
Yeah. Put on your 3D glasses. Turn your CD over.
I like Gene. Gene name checks Peter in the second line. He says,
"Get the fuck out of here, Peter.
don't give me sweet talk, Pete. Just testify." All right, Courtney Cronin, what do you think of You Wanted the Best?
Well, we wanted it. We got something close to it. It was a long time coming. I think a lot of people have said this too, that they, it sounds like it's a band fight and then they made it into a song. And like, that's the way they're talking. Gene's like, you're in the zone. He's like, but Gene, what about the other? Like, I don't know. That's my ace. But, he has the best New York accent, but, it's weird to me that it never happened before. That there was never a You Wanted the Best or any. I mean, how did they not trade off lyrics? They had all these opportunities.
Yeah.
You know, like,
they're all egomaniacs.
I know.
Why are you confounded by this?
Well, there were just, it just seems like there were, I mean, Paul and Gene trade vocals in tons of songs.
Yeah.
Like,
and Peter tons. And Paul do it sometimes.
Yeah. And look at Nothing to Lose. That's Gene and Peter. Like, I mean, it happened. It's just, it's like, you wonder why not. But anyway, it's, you know, it is what it is. It's fun that they're all four trading vocals. That's what makes it exciting. But let's be honest. Into the Void, You Wanted the Best. It's almost the same chorus.
I don't believe for a second that they all sang this together in the studio. I bet each one of them recorded the whole song vocally. And then Bruce Fairbairn and some engineers edited the lines together.
That's probably true.
And it cracks me up when, you know, Gene sings his line. And I love it that it's make up or break up because we've seen better days. That's it's very autobiographical. And then Paul Stanley has to fucking oversing everyone with his line. I mean, it's just crazy. He just like kicks the door in screaming his line.
He's like Celine Dion on Divas.
Yes, exactly. All right, Christian Malmeen, you wanted the best. Did you get it?
Who died and made you king? That's one of the things Paul sings. I've never taken this song seriously. It's like, okay, whatever. At the time, it was really cool, but now it makes me a little sad. It does, just because of, like, you know, like you pointed out, Pat, it's like Gene's being all friendly. He's calling him Pete.
Yeah.
There's the behind the scenes footage of when they were rehearsing for Unplugged and Pete kind of wanders, Peter wanders into the studio, and Gene is just like, "Hiya, Pete." And he's so friendly, and everybody's like, just so happy to see each other and knowing, you know, how just things went down.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you were there for this, but it was at the Chinese Theater. They had kind of like a listening party release press conference for this album. I don't know if you remember that or not.
I was not there. Were you there?
I was there for that. Yeah.
Cool.
And, you know, one of the things is they're all talking. And one of the things Peter said, he goes, you know, I want to be playing with these three guys till the day I die. I want to be, you know, I don't want this to end. This is just the greatest. And it's like, man.
Yeah.
And you got everybody's different accounts of how things went, what went down, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Now's not the time or place to get into that. But, you know, it was fun to hear all four of them on it. And we just have to accept and enjoy that much.
Yeah. All right. Kyle Hildreth, what do you got? You wanted the best. What did you get?
We got it. As milquetoast as We Are One was, this is exactly the opposite. It's the same stuff, but it's good. Everybody's in it. Everybody sounds great. The beat is driving. It does sound like Into the Void, but it's perfect. Gene's Gene. Paul's way up there in the register. Tough Pete's a tough guy. Space Ace is just spacey. Oh, perfect. Love it.
All right. Excellent. All right. We all enjoyed it. We all enjoyed it.
What do you all think about the very end where they've got that spoken word stuff?
Another brick in the wall. Like, what is that? That was weird.
Yeah. It's like the Beatles English crap.
They might as well busted out the Elder dialogue with, you know, Morpheus. You have been somebody your judgment of the boy. You know, it's
Who's doing the accent? Is it Gene?
It's gotta be Gene and Paul.
I think it's
Kevin Valentine.
Yeah, either one. I mean, I read a little thing. They were just kind of all messing around and let's do these overblown English accents.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know what they're talking about. I could go without it.
I think we got the best.
Maybe they were trying to be the Beatles.
Maybe.
All right, moving on to track 7, another co-write with Holly Knight, Paul Stanley, and Holly Knight. Paul sings it. It's another anthem. Here we go. Raise Your Glasses.
I took a ride with a one-way ticket.
The balls on Paul Stanley to put the word succeeded in this song.
Ah!
My God, Paul. Kyle Dotson, are you ready to raise your glasses?
Oh, boy. The chorus sounds like a Pepsi commercial.
it does.
And 100%. And then other than that, everything's just like you can guess the rhyme.
Yeah, guessing the rhyme is always when you know the song's weak, if you can guess the rhyme.
Pretty much after You Wanted the Best, I turned this album off.
Oh no.
Spoiler alert. So I'm not a huge fan of the rest of these.
All right. Well, they did front load it a bit. Okay. Thumbs down for Raise Your Glasses.
Yeah.
All right. Courtney, what do you think of Raise Your Glasses? And I'm hoping that you have some insight from Holly Knight on this.
I got some more Holly from the book, Raise Your Glasses.
She loves it, right?
Okay. We did a Raise Your Glasses reference at the memorial for Ace Frehley last November. They were supposed to have like this big like night of like Ace's music and his band and everything. And then he passed away 2 weeks before, about 3 weeks before it all happened. So it ended up, you know, it was so awful. So it ended up being like a memorial tribute to him. It was a little soon for a lot of the people there, but so they're doing it again this year. They're going to do another night for Ace, as they should. So it was all about Raise Your Glasses, but here's what Holly said. Let's let Holly take over here. This song would have been great in a beer commercial. Absolutely, Holly Knight. That's why you're a genius. They missed the boat on that one. Their management should have realized that this was a hit song. Imagine if someone had made a commercial for it. Kiss sitting in a bar in full costume and makeup, raising their glasses and making a toast to the likes of John McEnroe or Mark Wahlberg. Now that would have become an instant classic. Agree with Holly. Holly had her eyes on the prize for that one. Raise your glasses to Holly Knight. Your tumblers or whatever you got.
My Metamucil.
Your Metamucil.
Christian Melmeen, raise your glasses.
Mm-hmm. Is classic Paul Stanley formula of just another positive. Everybody go out there. Yes, we are one. You know, just all that stuff. But for me, it's kind of, it might have been my favorite one. It might be my favorite one on the album. Just remember. Yeah, okay. Yeah. There was just something about in 1998. Having a new song, having this upbeat thing, and getting ready to just start with the tour, the Psycho Circus tour. I would just sing along with this so loud in the car, and it was a feel-good thing. I liked it, you know, in the bridge, they bring it way down, and then they've kind of got the verse lines and the chorus lines intermingling, and then they build it back up, and it just worked for me.
And I do like some of the lyrics. I do like, we stop at nothing, even climb barbed wire. I love that.
Yeah.
We pushed it all beyond the limit. We took our chances and we jumped right in it. All right.
I believe in strength and numbers, went into battle with a force of thunder.
Yep. There we go. You know? Yep. A little nod to Gene. So yeah, I like the song too, but I can also, like it for its cheesiness too. And again, with the S's, Paul, raise your glasses. Raise your glasses, everybody.
Raise the glasses.
He rhymes nation and celebration.
Oh.
And then he rhymes nation with champions.
That's a sticking point.
I thought he was rhyming with constipation.
Yep. It should have.
It's ballsy. It's definitely ballsy. Okay, Kyle Hildreth, go ahead.
Now, this is the tipping point, right? This is the tipping point in this album. No going back after this, because it brings you right up to the edge. It's not the worst album song. It's not the best song. I like parts of it. I like the bass is great. Bruce, I think he plays bass on this, and he does great. That made me wonder, does Gene write the bass parts and then Bruce has to play them? Because it sounds very Gene-y, the way he's kind of walking all over the song. And it sounds great, but it's just too...
Let's ask him.
Yeah, maybe you should. Yeah.
Serious, I'll ask him.
It's just the way it's slow, and it just kind of, I don't know, it doesn't feel right, the whole thing. Like,
all right.
I see what young Kyle was saying, and I agree with him. But then what Christian was saying too made sense. It's very upbeat. It's positive. I like some of the phrasing and the melody. That's good. But is this just we are one part two? It feels a little bit. Yeah,
a little.
So I pledge allegiance to the one of we.
Yeah, you can it's Legos. You can put any piece together with any other piece, and you're going to get the same kind of stuff. So
raise your psycho glasses.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let me tell you who plays on this one. This is track 8, written by Paul Stanley and Bob Ezrin. And this is Peter Criss's contribution as a lead vocalist. Let me tell you who all is on this. Of course, Peter, Chris on lead vocal. And then we have Tommy Thayer on lead guitar, Bruce Kulick on bass, Shelley Berg on acoustic piano, Bob Ezrin on the Fender Rhodes, and Paul Stanley on acoustic guitar. And I don't think Gene's on this one at all. And this one is called I Finally Found My Way.
So many people tried to help me on my way. So little time and there's still so much left to say. There's no explaining all the things that I've been through. But I finally found my way to you. I finally found my way to you. Now the day is ending and the night begins to fall. Sometimes I wonder if I'd make it back at all. I gave up everything I had and never knew. But I finally found my way.
All right, before we go to Young Kyle, I want to talk about this one first. I want to tell people, first of all, Peter did not write this song. Again, Paul Stanley and Bob Ezrin wrote this song. Peter, Chris on lead vocals. Peter, Chris sounds great on this song. His voice is really, really good. And he's nailing all the parts of a song that he didn't write. He's putting everything into it. And when I listen to this song, I don't know why I think of this artist, but I'm like, if this was a Bob Seger song, would I love it? I don't know. But anyway, Kyle Dotson, what do you think of I Finally Found My Way?
I thought you were going to say the artist I was going to say. It sounds like the worst Billy Joel song.
Okay.
Like, it just sounds like a...
It's off the bridge, yeah.
Yeah, it just... I look at the cover of this album and then be like, and this is a song that's on it.
Well, that's true.
Like the craziest thing ever. It's the Psycho Circus. It's crazy. I don't know. This doesn't belong on here.
Okay. That's fair enough. It does. They could have given Pete a rockin' song, but they were trying to be like, well, Pete sang Beth, so we'll give him something like that. But this is no Beth. This is no Hard Luck Woman.
Yeah, Pete already had a hit with Beth, so give him this piece of shit.
All right, Courtney Cronin, what do you think of I Finally Found My Way?
Well, you know, when you're like listening to your stereo and like a song, you like when we'd listen to the radio and girls, we would dance in our bedrooms and you're listening to a song and you turn it up and you're like really into it. And then you accidentally bump into your stereo and it changes the radio station and some like weird like Mel Torme comes on and you're like, oh, shit. Hang on, and you got to put it back and try and find it. That's what this is, sort of, for this album. But the Peter's sultry voice lover in me, just again, like anything he's singing. So hey guys, I'm in this book too. So actually commented on this song, so I get to read my own comment.
Perfect.
Okay, so what I wrote was, because no one else wanted to do this song, so they asked me. Oh, Peter, you romantic you. I said, the only thing psycho about this song is that it wasn't a hit. It's the Beth of the Circus, and I realize that's the point, but I think they nailed it. I'm lying. This song does not get enough credit. It's simply beautiful. Peter's voice alone is an instant pants dropper to us gals, and if I ever direct a douche commercial, this will be the song I use.
How much did Peter pay you for that?
No, this is a book of fans and musicians and podcasters and and members of Kiss, like Bruce is in here and Ace is in here. And
very complimentary.
We all comment on the songs. Pat, you're in here, aren't you?
I am not in there, but
I thought you were.
I don't think so.
All the people in the Kiss tribute band stuff, like Chris Jericho and is in here. And then like people like that. And then people that worked on the songs.
Very cool.
Like Holly.
And give a shout out. What's the name of this book is?
It's called Raise Your Glasses, and it's the Shout It Out Loudcast guys. They do the Kiss podcast. They're really funny.
Excellent. Zeus
and Tom from Boston. They're great guys.
All right. Fantastic. Christian Malmey.
Enjoy Quesada. Sorry.
No, you're good. Christian, you are rocking a Peter Criss shirt. So what do you got to say about his lone lead vocal? Solo lead vocal.
Yeah, it's interesting that all of a sudden Bob Ezrin reappears, and he reappears in this song, and only this song. I think I like the piano. I agree with you that I think his voice is very strong, and I like what he's doing. It's sultry in some parts, and he's got the classic Peter Criss scratch going. It's a nice little piano line. I love this... This woman, Shelley Bird, who plays the piano on this, I guess, just a session player. I was kind of trying to find, like, well, did Gene and Paul know her? How did the, and there's like, no, she's just a session gal. And I hate the bridges where Peter goes into the big falsetto. That I do not care for. I don't care for it at all. And, I was looking at some of the other power ballads that were out that same year before this came out. You had Aerosmith and Don't Want to Miss a Thing. You also had Goo Goo Dolls with Iris. So those were kind of the biggest power ballads at the time. But I also thought the strings coming in were pretty sweet. But by that time, I had kind of checked out of it. And it was like I was listening to a different album. Enjoying it, but it was like, okay, well, I've gone to another place here. And I think instead of Paul and Bob trying to write a new Beth, it would have been cooler if they had tried to write a new Hard Luck Woman.
Yeah.
Something
great.
More of that feel. Because, I mean, it's so obvious it was going to be a new Beth, but they weren't going to perform it live, but still, though. I like the douche commercial idea, though.
This sounded more like a Peter solo album song, didn't it?
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
It would have gone great on the 78 album, totally. Yeah. So.
All right. Old Kyle, let me hear it.
You know him, okay? All right. Yeah, his voice does sound good, but very, very syrupy in that first part. Oh, my Lord. You know how you did it back in 70, whatever, 5, 6? Can you do that more now? And yes, boss, I can. And he just lays it on so thick and so drippy. It's just too much. And yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you know.
I know.
And thick and drippy.
Exactly.
Thick and drippy douche.
All right. Lord.
Coming up, we have Paul Stanley's fourth and final song that he sings lead on. It's written by Paul Stanley and Bruce Kulick. Let me tell you who plays on track 9. Bruce Kulick, all guitars on track 9. Bruce Kulick, bass on track 9. Ooh. Kevin Valentine on drums and Paul on rhythm and vocals. And the thing about this song is, I don't know if they were sued or if they had to settle, but this sounds to me exactly like Alice Cooper's 18. Here we go.
Close your eyes and take a look at your life. Do you like what you see? Like I'm blind, it's all returning to me. I wanna know, does a frozen river flow? Things we say fill my head, dying in a cold and empty bed. I'm only dreaming between the darkness and the light.
right. Young Kyle Dotson, what do you think of Dreamin'?
It does really sound like 18. Imagine thinking 18 was going to come on and then this comes on. It's again, I don't like anything after a certain point on this album, so we can move on from me.
All right. Courtney Cronin, Dreamin'.
I got to close my eyes and take a look at my life, even though my eyes are closed. But yeah, the lyric, this is like some ultimate, this is probably one of the cheese, I think some of the cheesiest lyrics on the whole album. And I've been enjoying this and I'm into it and I like it. And I remembered the song that I would skip and it's this one. It's not my fave. It's not my fave.
Because of where the Frozen River flows?
Well, yes, the Frozen River line really did. That kind of did me in. I mean, I wish I had something more interesting and clever to say about it. I'll listen to him saying he can say anything stupid he wants, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, diddle diddle. I'll listen to that too. So like, it doesn't matter. But yeah, this one just, it's just boring. It's just, it's filler to me.
Yeah, me too. I think Paul's fun this whole way through the album. And then we get here and I'm like, this is not good at all for me. But let's see, Christian Malmeen might love it. He might like it. He might like 18.
Not a giant fan. Not a giant fan. I do like the drums, what's going on with Kevin Valentine. But like almost every track on this album, the drums are really, really buried in the mix. They're way down there. So, but what I do hear, I think it was kind of some interesting stuff going on. I thought this also would fit maybe on Paul's 78 solo album. But yeah, it was a little bit of filler. And what I did see, I just saw a little blurb. It said, the Rolling Stone report confirmed that the copyright infringement lawsuit was settled amicably out of court for an undisclosed low six-figure sum, roughly 11 months later in August of 1999. So,
wow. So the lowest six figures can be is $100,000.
But there was a lawsuit that they were just going, hey, way too much like 18.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there was that going on.
And it's funny that, because Bob Ezrin, again, is on the album. I mean, I assume he would have heard some of this. And I think he produced 18. So wouldn't he have said, hey, guys, you know what?
Yeah.
And Gene said, shut the fuck up.
Or it could be why he liked it so much.
Yeah. He's like, you know what? I don't know why I'm enjoying this one, but I really like it.
This is the best song on the album.
Kyle Hildreth, Dreamin'.
Just like this whole album. Oh. Not a boy, not a man. Sorry, Christian. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I saw an interview with Bob Ezrin, and he said first time he heard I'm 18, he thought Alice Cooper was saying I'm edgy.
Yes.
Which is I'm edgy. He said, like, I couldn't understand what it, oh, I'm 18. That makes sense. All right. So
now, did he take that story and try to apply it to Paul's song here? Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, it back was in the supposed 80s and to 90s, be 17, but then he... No, sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
But then back that was 80s, too that was too old for Kiss. 17.
Ooh, ouch. They're grown up now. They're big boys. Back in the 80s and 90s, there was a pitcher, Brett Saberhagen, for the Royals and a bunch of other teams. And he was only good every other year. So 85, he was great. 86, he stunk. 87, he was great. On and on. And that's kind of how Kiss was. You had your Paul albums and you had your Gene albums.
Yeah.
And this is nobody's album. This is Kevin Valentine's album, I think. He's the one person that really shines through on the whole thing. All the Paul, there's a couple of good Paul songs, one or two good Gene songs, but really, this is one of those stinkers that just tries too hard to fill those holes. And just don't. And poor Bruce, he wrote on this. So you wonder, did he get in trouble for ripping off 18?
Yeah, or he's playing Paul? Everything. He's playing bass and all the guitars on it. So
I know. So yeah, that's a rough one.
All right. Last song. Journey of a Thousand Years, written and sung by Gene Simmons. Gene vocals and bass on this song. Tommy Thayer, lead guitar on this song. Shelley Berg back on acoustic piano and orchestration, and of course our friend Kevin Valentine. And it says Paul Stanley guitar, acoustic guitars on this one. So let's listen to Journey. What is it? What's it called again? Journey of a Thousand,
Years.
Really Journey sticks in the brain.
All right, here we go.
Like a circus story.
I know just where you come from. All your yesterdays are gone. Now you're done, but you've only just begun.
Kyle Dotson, I know that you love the later part of this album. So how do you feel about
this? This is like the end credits. Who's staying for this?
Right.
Just leave.
That's a great way to put it. Yeah. The credits roll and I'm out of my seat.
Yeah, this is garbage. they just get worse. The last part just gets like worse and worse as you go.
Yeah, it gets a little rough.
You can feel them running out of steam.
It's only a 10-song album. It shouldn't run out of steam.
Shouldn't.
Courtney Cronin, Journey of a Thousand Years.
I feel like it's the bow on the package that the hardcore Kiss fans wanted from this album because they all thought this was it. So here's our farewell. Here it is. Welcome to the show, Psycho Circus. Here's our Journey of a Thousand Years. We're going to leave now quietly and extremely repetitive lyrics on our way out. But it's not a good song. It's almost like the end of a rock opera. It's like almost like an after track. Like there's the afterthought. Like that's what this song. I have a joke that Journey of a Thousand Years is about how long it takes Gene to do his hair. But it's it's. I mean, it's obvious but that's what it is. But I think there was a better bow to put on this package. And I think that I get where they were going with it, but it could have been like one of those bonus tracks instead of an actual track. And I think that people would be a lot less tough on it if it had been.
All right.
That makes sense.
It does make sense.
Yeah.
Christian Maumeen, Journey of 1,000 Years.
Mm-hmm. I agree with what has been said. I like the drums, but little repetitive. They get a little monotonous after a while. And I like when the song gets into the strings at the end.
That part's cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice little build and that little musical journey. And it almost like, okay, this could be a kind of a cool soundtrack for something. I mean, with the strings, you know, accompanying something cool visually, but I don't know, maybe this is another song should have been on The Elder.
Yep. Kyle Hildreth.
If Black Diamond and Carnival of Souls had a baby, this is it.
All right.
Because it's just too much. Again, it feels like the snap in Endgame or in Avengers Infinity War, and everything just blows away in the dust.
All right. Now look. We're not done yet.
What?
Because, yes, there is a Japanese bonus track written by Gene and sung by Ace. And this song is called In Your Face.
Ask me no questions and I'll
of all, I want to say that Ace loves to name check himself in songs. And I like that Gene, who wrote the song, made sure that he wrote a name check in there for Ace to sing. So that's in your face. Kyle Dotson, did you know about this song?
Yes.
What do you think of In Your Face?
It's a lot better than a lot of those other songs. It does, the guitar part at the beginning sounds a little bit like I Love Rock and Roll.
All right.
It's a little close.
All right.
But yeah.
All right. Fine. So yeah, it's definitely better than the last three songs on this album.
Yes.
And I feel it should have been included at least amongst those songs, or
shouldn't have to go to Japan to get that song.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. If you need that song, you can get it on the Japanese edition. Courtney Cronin, In Your Face.
Women don't like songs titled In Your Face. We prefer songs like Move or On Your Back. I'm just kidding. We don't like songs like that. It's a little much. It's a little much, but I love Ace, and it's so Acey sounding. Mm-hmm. Like you said, like he likes to mention himself, and silly sort of. It is kind of got that Gene silly lyrics thing going on, but Ace makes it sound cool. So I liked that. That was a fun little surprise. I did not know that song before.
And later in the song, he says, "Oh yeah, I'm the man from outer space." So we're getting it all. We're getting it all.
You're filling your whole bingo card on this one.
Let me see if he shocks himself anywhere. No, he doesn't.
I don't draw. I like to trace. That's another lyric.
Put you in your place. Anything that rhymes with Ace is good. Christian Malmeen, In Your Face, buddy.
Thank you. I would totally believe that Ace had written this. If you had said, oh, it's an Ace song. It's like, oh, of course it is. It sounds like Ace wrote it. I think it's got a real good crunch, but it really doesn't do anything for me. There's nothing to me that really stands out. And so it's just kind of another filler song. And again, it would fit on his 78 solo album and any of his other Fraley's Comet stuff, but it doesn't really do much for me. It's a bonus track. It was a Japanese bonus track.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
That says it all.
All right, Kyle Hildreth, In Your Face.
I just learned about this weekend. I didn't know this was a song, and I saw the title and I thought, oh, it's a Gene song. Okay. And then I heard it and I'm like, it's an Ace song, but it's nobody's song. It's not good enough to be a Gene song. It's not fun enough to be an Ace song. There's no hooks. It's again, plotting even for Ace. It's better than the second half, but it's still bonusy.
All right. Fair enough. Now let me tell everyone listening. Well, the people listening already know it. This is more for you guys here. This episode is going to drop on September 3rd. So if you have things to promote, like Courtney Cronin, do you have anything to promote around the September 3rd week that you want to tell us about?
Yeah.
Where will you be?
I'll be in Boston on the 14th, opening for Trish Sir at Laugh Boston. And then I'm going to be at Gladstone's in Malibu here on the 24th of September.
Excellent. All right. There you go.
23rd. Sorry.
If you're in those areas in Boston or in Southern California, please go see Courtney Cronin perform. When's the next cruise? Is there a cruise coming up of any type?
A cruise?
Yeah. A rock cruise.
I'll already have done the Gatlinburg Monsters on the Mountain Music Festival Mountain Music Festival by the time this airs. But the KISS event is in November. KISS Landlocked. Great. I'm just helping with a couple things. I'm not like officially in it like last year, but that's in November in Vegas at the Virgin.
Okay, but you'll be around. So if listeners come up to you and want to take a picture, all that good stuff.
I don't know why they would, but I'll be there.
They will. Kyle Dotson, anything to tell us?
Nope.
You burned Kyle's album.
Kyle Hildreth already did the artwork for this show and sent it to me. So thank you, Kyle.
You're welcome.
And I didn't even want you to do it. But
no, fun. Thank you. That's great.
No, I'm kidding. Thank you. Thank you. Christian Malmeen, anything coming up around the September 3rd or whenever?
Not on those dates, but my first name is Christian. The last name is spelled M-A-L-M-I-N. M-A-L-M-I-N. Please go to my YouTube channel. There's a lot of fun rock and roll and Kiss-related things, including me winning a game show called The Experts as the Kiss Expert. There's a song a friend of mine wrote called School of McCool that Bruce Kulick and I play on together. I play drums on.
Wow.
Very nice. And then there's some other stuff, you know, me playing guitar on a Breakfast at Tiffany's parody. And there's also a fun video of Carmine Appice explaining how he pronounces his last name.
Oh.
And if you go to YouTube and just type in Beat the Geeks, Kiss Geek, I will be on there. It's the episode I did of Beat the Geeks on Comedy Central a while back.
Oh, yeah.
Many years ago. And then also myself and my friends from the Dodger Stadium concert on the Kissology DVD, Volume 3, Disc 3, during Rock and Roll All Night at hour 1:06:22, myself and my friends show up. So we are on the DVD.
All right. Are you sure that that's the precise time?
Yes. We enter at 1:06:22. No. And then Paul, we were kind of in the back, but then we snuck up and Paul Stanley goes, look at you. And then it shows us again, you know, we're at the 1 hour, 6 minute mark.
I'm looking. I'm going to watch that.
Look at you. Are you got something? All right.
You see four guys in destroyer costumes. I'm the Peter Chris.
Beautiful.
So.
Perfect. We are at Rock Solid Show on Instagram. We are at Rock Solid Podcast on Blue Sky. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/Rock Solid Podcast. The next time the five of us are together, we will be talking about Sonic Boom. So everybody get ready for that. And then Monster. But just one at a time. I don't know why we did two at a time before. I don't know why I was doing two albums at a time, because this was the perfect amount of time. So I thank Kyle Dotson, Courtney Cronin, Christian Malmeen, Kyle Hildreth, and our playout song. According to the box set, this was maybe a song that was in consideration to be on Psycho Circus. It's a Gene song. Please enjoy It's My Life. Thanks, guys and girls. The video is not going to be shown anywhere. It's just for us.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
Oh,
don't worry.
Because I am sweating like a whore in church. Okay,
well,
good.
That's why you're here. That's why you're here.
Woo! No cameras. All right.
And I'm just going to do this
sultry, mysterious.
Look at this yacht rock star, Kyle Dodson.
I know. I got like a dinosaur shirt on.
Look at you. Will you be singing Rosanna or Africa at all?
Is that Robbie Dupree?
Hot Rod Hearts over there.
Little Hot Rod Hearts.